today for me is a very good day.
As always, here on the Andy Demander Show, folks, welcome aboard. We're back. We're back. And it's Wednesday, the 26th day of January in 2022. Andy Kimball here in the United States, outside of Hollywood, California. And in the UK, we have none other than the great, talented, articulate, bright, inquisitive, insightful, sexy.
Bless you, sweetheart.
You know.
Where is she?
All that, yeah. You know? Yes. Yes, I will. Hey, how you doing? It's Amanda Love in the UK, Andy Kimball here in the USA. This is the Andy and Amanda Show, and for the next hour, we're going to try to make sense of what's going on in the world. Maybe we won't. And we're going to take your calls at 515-605-9888 for the next hour. For those of you listening to the show on podcast, you obviously will not be able to call in because we fortunately will not be there to take your calls. Anyway, you can also email the show with your comments, questions, ideas, suggestions, guests that you might want to see on the show, or maybe you want to be on the show as a guest. You can do all that by emailing us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. And please do visit our website at andyandamandashow.net or .com, and visit our Facebook and our Instamatigram or whatever that thing is called, and TikTok. And all, we got all that stuff going on. All that, whatever it is, we're there. Whatever you're supposed to do on the internet, we're pretty much there. So please look us up, follow us, follow the show, tune in, tell your friends. We have thousands of listeners. We're in about 20 some odd countries around the world. It's hard to believe, you know, but we're, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's interesting? Speaking of being over the world, that for quite a while, next in line to North America in terms of the population of listeners, number two was Russia.
Oh,
and it's interesting. And I started and then Russia now is down somewhat. It fell below. I think they're number three or four right now, which is still pretty high. And I just had this crazy idea that maybe there's Russians listening into U.S. news type and commentary type programs. We're not a news program, we're a commentary program, I guess. Because we don't report the news. We just talk about what is in the news. But anyway, at least we tried to. But sometimes. Okay. Anyway, I had this idea that maybe the Russians are trying to listen in to see what American broadcasters are talking about regarding their lineup of thousands of troops along the Ukrainian Russian border. It just, I was wondering how come Russia, there's so many listeners in Russia? I mean, I'm glad we're there to entertain them, and I could maybe just people tuned into the internet who are enjoying our show there, and welcome folks in Russia who are hearing our voices right now. Welcome aboard our show, and we hope you have a good time with us here.
Absolutely.
That's what we know what we're doing. You know, we kind of don't know what we're doing too much, but we, we go.
No, we make out we do, but we don't really.
Yeah, we kind of pretend. Yes.
Yeah, it's fun.
To get in on the show, again, we've had some great people be, broadcasting our phone number and putting our number out there, how you can join the show live. We want to try to get our listenership live up, because it seems that right now most of our listeners hear the podcast because of the awareness that Blog Talk Radio is a real radio medium with live shows, hundreds of live shows, and excluding our show, there's many, many others, and it's a great medium. There's fascinating shows and discussions on Blog Talk Radio, of which we are one. But again, to call our show, you
the number 303-330-30-330 or 303-330.
No, Joe, that ain't right. I know you tried your best, but thank you for the attempt to advertise our phone number. It's 61. What's our number? Oh, I'm not doing much better. 515-605-9888. And, on this show, we do nothing better, but...
we choose truth over facts.
We do.
Yes, we try.
Yeah, I'll take the truth over fact any day. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody back to another show. Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me...
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, what's going on over there?
Okay, well, what's up? Let's see. Well, I'm sat with a cover over my legs because it is that cold here. And I've been trying to catch up on all the news. And the main news here is, of course, dear old Boris Badenov.
Yeah, Mark Badenov. We hear, yes.
As we most affectionately refer to him on this show, you know, Boris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through it, man. I mean, just everything that's been thrown at him to do with all these parties that went on behind closed doors in number 10. And now the police have been involved. Ooh.
Oh, no.
Ah.
It seems that he's like been, yeah, really, you know, the police, you know, I don't know why they'd want to. Yeah, really. I know. But it seems like he's fighting for his job over there and you know, about all these gatherings does he live at 10, that's his official residence, right? 10 Brown Street?
His class
is it Brown Street?
Yeah.
Downing.
It's named after them.
Know.
Sat there around a table, downing drinks all night. That's probably what it is.
Downing. That's about what they did. Yeah, you know. But that's been a pretty what do we say? Like a perilous moment for his.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness! Yeah.
Popularity and his leadership, and you know, he's thinking of misleading all these, you know, all this information about the drinks and parties.
Yeah.
Something like, right? That was during COVID, right? That was when COVID first came out or something. What's going on there?
So basically, I mean, it's now come out that a birthday party was held for him as well at number 10.
Good for him.
Why should he have
a birthday party?
They've been brushing it off, or he's been brushing it off, saying, well, look, you know, I came back from a school trip. My fiance arranged it for me when I got back to number 10. Everybody who was already working there, you know.
Your fiance?
Oh, no, not mine. No.
Oh. I was jealous there for a minute. I'm like, whoa, come on.
Oh, it's okay, my darling.
Yeah. All right. Now we're good. All right.
It's okay, darling. It's all right. I'll comfort you.
Thank you. Oh,
to reassure you. So basically, he's been saying, well, look, I came back from a trip. There's people, the people that were there were literally the people who were at meetings that day, who were working, and they had a cake for him. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's claiming. It was no real big party. There was probably about 10 people at most, and they only were hanging around for like 10 minutes. And so, you know, they're saying that, you know, people are making a big deal out of this. The other two parties, however, you know, it was supposedly, again, work-related and was told to bring your own drinks. And Boris is saying, well, you know, people do have to eat and people do have to drink like coffee and stuff like that. But yet people were going out for like boxes of alcohol to bring back. And I guess if you're having a work meeting in a big company, you'd say, you know, quite often you will send out somebody to pick up some stuff maybe for a meeting. So I guess you can't really call it a party as such, because alcohol sometimes is served on a premises, but it depends what the technical, what defines a party in a work environment if alcohol is one of those things listed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as you introduce that, yes, it's classed as a party. I don't know. But now we've got Sue Gray, I think her name is, and she's investigating, leading the investigation with the police into what's been going on. Because, of course, the rules were at that time, you're not allowed indoor gatherings at all. So, you know, and you were glad to work
from
home.
That was the case like all over the world. I mean, it was right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not looking good for him. And I can imagine it's a very stressful situation. However, there's a report that is meant to be issued to government into their findings and what they're going to say about it or what action's going to be taken. And that was either going to be delivered today, or possibly tomorrow, or it could take longer, but Boris promised that basically when that report is coming to his hands through somebody else who's like an official, they will then put it in the Parliament's library for anyone to go and read fully. And it has to be the full, you know, disclosed document, nothing like, you know, part written or anything like that, just bits of information. So it has to be there for people to read. So that's going to be interesting to see what comes out. And I mean,
man,
the police were, Sue, bless her, she was questioned in an interview and said, you know, are you concerned about the public losing faith in the police if, you know, nothing is seen to be done about this? Because it's not fair that everybody else has had to stick by these rules.
Yeah, you know, I remember at the time, because we were doing the show at the time, and there were restrictions. Like you're talking about the restrictions that were imposed by Boris Badenov, you know, by the government.
Yeah.
That said people, you said they couldn't leave their homes, they couldn't go outside the place they live without some kind of emergency excuse or something. They couldn't go to work.
They
couldn't go out to exercise, you know, I mean, nothing. And a banned gatherings in public places. They were more than, I don't know, if at the time, a couple people or just a member of the same family or something, it was a while back. But so he had this party, right? He had a great big party and invited all these people at the time when all these restrictions were imposed.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. And I got to admit, you know, there are going to be...
Oh, well.
Yeah. I know. There are going to be many members of the public that are just going to want to see him fried, hung, kicked out of Parliament, you know, because of that. Yeah, right?
I have no further use for you.
That's probably what the response is going to be. I fear, however, something even more chaotic occurring. Like, because people like to have an excuse to use violence. I mean, look what happened with Trump. And I know this is nothing on the same level as that, but people here are pissed off. They've had enough of COVID. They've had enough of being told, I can't do this, you know, no longer wear your mask. Oh, yeah, you got to wear your mask again. It's like, we understand this, you and I and many other people that listen to the show. We understand that these are things that need to be implemented and, you know, stuck by for all of our safety. And
these
measures,
I have a recording, that party. It was in the Rose. It was a garden. It was outdoors, you know. Like big, you know, everybody brought their own booze and a lot of drinking and hanging out, and even they were leaving the Rose Garden, you know, wandering the streets of London. You know, they were singing, they were dancing, they were.
Oh yeah.
What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Way hey, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I've got vivid memories.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey.
Yeah. Knock it off. What's your thoughts about all of this, Andy?
My thoughts.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts. Yes, my thoughts exactly.
I like it. I like it.
I hope they had a nice something to eat. I hope they enjoyed their time when they were there. I think he's on his way out because it shows utter disrespect for the people he serves. It's a slap in the face of the entire country I was going to say the country of London. It's the country of you.
Yeah.
I had to stop myself there, the country of London.
Country.
Anyway, it was it's an utter disrespect for the UK.
It makes us look bad. I feel ashamed. Seriously, I feel ashamed. You know, especially when we got the likes of Joe Biden doing some wonderful things in the US, and then we're sat here talking about Boris Badenoff doing these crazy things with government.
You heard about his, and he's gotten married since then, but his fiance was there. His fiance, who eventually married, was there.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got the recording of what
went on
there.
Don't you want to marry me?
No. Yeah.
Oh, I think he does. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Well,
right?
Boris. Yeah, I think the guy's a.
He's a jackass.
Yeah, definitely. I just don't love
that clip.
Yeah. I just don't see what's going on. Is there any kind of you know, is there any kind of effort, political effort, to remove him from office? Is there, like, what they have here with impeachment here? Is really, like,
Yeah.
It's time to play What is the UK Going to Do?
Place your bets, everybody. Place your bets.
Yeah, Yeah, it's correct. You know, what's going on? They're going to impeach the guy?
Yeah, they'll probably all enter a parliament with bags of peaches and throw them at him, you know, at his head. And in all honesty, I don't think it works the same way here. I mean, I haven't heard anything other than this inquiry that's taken place. And obviously, you've got other parties that have been, you know, booing him and telling him to get out, that he needs to leave. Like our Labour Party leader, Sir Keir Starmer.
Did he run against Boris? Yeah, I thought so.
Not exactly. No,
did he
came into Labour Party afterwards.
But all right. I know the name. I thought he was the opposition candidate, but I guess not. Okay. So what's he been saying? Like, would he succeed? How would that work? What's the mechanism there for removal of a prime minister?
What do you mean, sweetie?
Like what? Like, you know, if you want to kick the guy out, that would be just like
unbelievable.
It would be.
As far as I'm aware, because obviously I'm not in depth into politics like you are, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. But far as I'm aware, they would all put their opinions forward, and you've got somebody who sits in Parliament and overlooks everything, kind of governs what goes on there, and can tell you if you're out of line with what you're saying, and to pay attention to this and to not do that. They basically are kind of like a mini police or like a headmaster within Parliament. So they oversee everything. But the parties have a say in obviously what they feel and convincing the public on what they could do to better the situation. You know, every party at the moment has been really laying into Boris, saying you're not fit enough and worthy enough to be in. So, you know, I mean, it's crazy. They're waiting on the official report. After the official report, I think, then if he's in trouble, and he may get a slap on the hand, I don't know. He may be asked to step down. I don't know. I don't really see that happening, but it could do.
No,
because the police at the end of the day, whether it's the general public or the prime minister, in lockdown situation, they are sent out to do their job whilst trying to fight crime, with their capes on and, you know, stop terrorism and things like that. So they were literally stopping people from gatherings and fining individuals and as a group as well. And, you know, that was the situation. You were fined on the spot for illegal gatherings.
Okay.
So it could be just that, you know, there will be some sort of thing like that happen. I don't know. But she did say, Sue Gray did say in the little conference that they had, that she didn't see each individual being fined, which I think is ridiculous, because if the general public can be fined, why not them? And if it's just a work situation, then again, that's a fine line. I think this investigation is going to be a bit wobbly. I don't think we're going to see the result that many people are hoping for with this. I think he's still going to continue to lead. I don't know. Part of me hopes that isn't the case, because he literally has been making a mockery of government with different things. So I understand it's a serious job. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders with this kind of role that you have to play. And he's done well with kind of steering us through the murky waters with COVID. Let's face it, that's no easy task for any president, prime minister, whoever. And you've got to take into consideration how each country works, each country's economy, and as the kind of degree of relationship you have with other countries in order to make your country work and get what you need.
And that is the key there. It's the dependency.
Yeah. Really make Europe dependent on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
But I heard... you know, he's got some issues. You know, he's, I think,
not perfect, but, you know, who
he,
is?
He would,
and
you
that
know,
would
I think
have it, tragic repercussions all over Asia and the rest of the world.
Yeah, it would. Well, we'll see what happens to the guy. He is considered a conservative prime minister, correct? He's not a liberal or left-leaning. He's right-leaning, am I right?
Yeah.
So
you are right, on the right.
When people are pounded night after night, it naturally shakes their confidence.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I should imagine his is really shaking right now.
That view is the right one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm one of these people, Andy, I kind of sit on the fence with a lot of things. So on one hand, I feel for his situation and I feel for him what he's had to deal with. He's had to bring us through so much crap with coming out of Brexit and dealing with COVID and, you know, trying to get our economy back and push forward with other things in the world as well, with the climate and everything. So these are no light tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to know that this stuff has gone on and they haven't stuck extremely to the rules like everybody else is a bit of a, excuse the expression, piss take.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know... It's no wonder everybody's angry at him and wants to see him out, right?
Yep, yep. I think I would understand the uproar. I think I think it's a matter of
Putin
it's time
said Donald Trump is a genius. Putin called me a genius.
See?
Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah.
Andy.
Yes. Well, do you know? Speaking of that.
Yeah.
You know, Russia has thousands of troops right now lined up on the Russian-Ukrainian border, part of the border. And the U.S. Has said that the U.S. would seize assets of Putin and other leaders of Russia. And they've come back to, you know, Vladimir Putin came back and said that any kind of personal, you know, sanctions would not hurt him, but would be politically destructive after Biden said that. So, but, you know, you're going to see all this back and forth. The interesting thing is that, the European economy, including Russia, you know, Europe, the countries surrounding Russia, the rest of the European continent, is Russia's number one investor. They have one third of the economy.
Right.
And the European nation is not too happy about what's going on there. And of course, NATO, you know, this whole thing, I think, is a chess move because Russia, Putin, doesn't want Ukraine to join NATO for obvious reasons. So they thought if they can get a pro-Russian leader in there, somehow, whatever that might take to do, then that would obviously obliterate that possibility big time. And I think that's what's backing this chess move. This potentially can have dire and major consequences if they were to walk in, if those troops were to begin to cross the border into Ukraine. NATO wouldn't stand for it. The United States would not stand for it. The world would not stand for it, I don't think.
Yeah.
And what would happen as a result is a scary thought. A scary thought.
Yes, it is. And I think we've always had this ongoing thing. And how can I put this politely and nicely without offending anyone, which is not possible these days?
You could offend me. No problem.
Oh, darling, I wouldn't want to offend you.
Thank you.
We've always had this fear hanging over our heads for the longest time. You know, always the media pushing into our faces, oh, we're heading for World War III. You know, we're heading for this, we're heading for that. Disaster's about to happen, it's just around the corner. One thing after the other. And, you know, quite often it's in movies, isn't it, that Russia's the bad guy, always wanting to, you know, attack the US and see us go under and all that kind of stuff. And with things like this, bits of news like this, yes, it puts everybody on edge, doesn't it? And we then look to Russia like they're bad people in a bad country and, you know, trying to create the worst in the world.
Yeah.
But together, politically, I think not one country does everything perfectly. we stir it apart and cause problems for other countries with different things that we try to try to do. And we think we're doing the best thing for people, but we're not necessarily doing the best thing for a certain country.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, we're seen as quite often interfering and, you know, told to, you know, just get lost and do your own thing. Let us get on with it. And I can understand that. No country likes to be interfered with if they think they're capable of dealing with such problems. However,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's nice when you can come together with other countries and say, hey, let us help you out. You know?
And you look at, you know,
yeah.
And poor, you know, Joe Biden here with his Build Back Better. Now you've got Russia, you got COVID.
What he's gone through over the last 3 weeks is incredible.
It is.
Yeah.
It's truly, it really is. I mean, you know, this, you know, Joe Biden's, you know, juggling a lot of things right now. And he's managing somehow to stay awake. So, you know, just that feat alone is remarkable, you know.
Yeah. So for our listeners who are not very clued up on what is happening with Joe Biden, just can you list a few things, darling, of what you've just said? Like what kind of things and pressures is he dealing with right now?
We've got the Build Back Better proposal, which was the committing trillions of dollars into infrastructure of the United States and other things as well. Kind of giving us a lift, you know. Railroads, airports, highways, bridges, tunnels, education, schools. It's comprehensive, and it's about time. It's about time.
Yeah.
And what happens as a result of this investment is jobs, millions of jobs are created across the board in the various aspects and where this Build Back Better program would be injected. You know, every corner of this Build Back Better program means also job creation, which means withholding taxes from the people who get employed, which means more tax dollars. You know, I mean, there's more to it than that. You know, but people look at, you know, we're already trillions of dollars in debt. You know, this, we can't afford to go into debt anymore. In the meantime, the United States is not what it was at one time. You know, you've got these in Europe. And in the Pacific Rim countries, you've got trains that are approaching 300 miles an hour across right on top of the tracks on a cushion of air, like a repelling magnet, you know, magnet lever, I think it's called, and other aspect, you know, other ways. And here, we're so outdated. Our highways are outdated. Mm-hmm. Our air traffic control system has improved greatly over the last few years, but there's airports need to be improved. You know, there's more people flying. We need to accommodate more airplanes more efficiently. Education, your schools, you know, we need to provide, education. We need to allow, you know, we've talked about on the show, you know, one time way back when, it was the government who said, you know, we think everybody in this country should have at least a high school education before they move on in life. So therefore, we'll create the public education system where the government will provide education up through 12th graders or to graduate high school. Well, now it's not high school anymore. Now you need a college. And the government said, well, we set that bar of high school way back when. Now everything is college, so we need to raise the bar to college. And we'll provide the first couple of years of community college at no cost.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, something, you hang around in this country long enough and you'll say, I think we need to do more than that. But that's another question.
Yeah.
That's another conversation. But anyway, but at least the first two years of community college. And also, you know, people now are kids are graduating college with no, you know, the job opportunities are few and far between. They're there. Don't get me wrong. But they're, you know, so a lot of people aren't getting these jobs. And the jobs that are there aren't enough for somebody to make a living and also remedy a very, very big student loan debt. Could be between $50,000 and $200,000. Hey, graduate college, yay, all the parties, families together, all these parties and dinners and great, and put the cap up in the air and saying goodbye to the people you spent your college career with, and then you go out into the job market with a $200,000 debt. Good luck.
Yeah.
And Biden's like, we need to do something about that. You know, you need to do, and even if somebody, as we said before, you know, is going through life and they somehow, whatever happens, they have a business or they're working for a business, it goes under, they've got to declare bankruptcy because their debt is mounting. And the debt that doesn't go away is that student loan debt. It's like, hey, the government's like, hey, we'll help you with your college, kiddo. But you know what? here's a $200,000 check, and you're into it for it, plus interest, no matter what happens in your life. It's like the mafia.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable. So there, you know, there's some things that we need to remedy in this country, and that's a whole other conversation as well. But as you were saying, you know, what basically is Biden juggling? Okay, so we've got that. Now he's also got COVID. And this guy spent so much of his campaign and his presidency in the promoting the vaccine. You know, we yeah. have the ability. We have the ability to minimize the impact of COVID. I had COVID.
Yeah.
I'm vaxxed and boosted. It was like having a cold. And I know a good friend of mine lives in Florida. Well, I haven't seen in years. I knew her way back when. Anyway, she was not vaxxed and got the Omni bomb. The what's the Omni bomb? Omni Omicron? What's it called?
the Omicron.
You know that one. Yeah. And had like a cold as well. But anyway, regardless. There are people who do get it who are not vaxxed who don't fare out as well. But anyway, the point being is that we have the technology and the ability to minimize the impact of COVID. We're only, I think, 60% or 70-some% vaccinated now. One-third of the people who are eligible to get boosted are not boosted. That number may have increased over the past couple of weeks. That was last time I checked it, but right around there. So we need to be more aggressive in handling this, and that is a huge, huge a weight over his President Biden's shoulders is
yeah.
You know, this virus is creating obviously havoc not only here but around the world. But other countries are doing better than we are. You know,
yeah.
especially the Chinese. Yeah, China. they 21 days. You come into China, 21 days in quarantine.
Yeah,
and they've. You know, the restrictions on travel there are pretty significant and very restrictive. They don't want anything happening there. You know, New Zealand, Australia, Sweden, Denmark, Norway. I mean, and also we're talking about countries with significantly less populations, and you got to put that in consideration. But if you ratio that out and put all things equal, they're still doing a much better job. Their populations are doing a better job than we are here. It's not like the effort isn't there from a governmental standpoint. Of course it is. You know, people say, oh, Fauci
yes.
created this whole thing. My God, people. You know, it just, you know, people are showing their true
yeah.
colors. You know, it just,
yeah,
you scratch
true.
Your head all day, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
I've gone around in that circle many
Well, I was going to reply to that, but oh, what the hell, let's move on to something else.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's
Dr. Ruth is 93 years old.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew she was 90%, and we've probably talked about this many times on the show. Yeah, shows how much I pay attention in class. 93. Wow, that's incredible.
This is
I wonder
birthday,
if the secret to her age is what we think it is.
Well, she says that if you don't have a partner, then you should satisfy themselves, period. But there's no age limit to having sex. That's her quote, you know, and her.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's
excellent.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd bring that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. I know this sounds like a weird thing.
Yeah, she said, wait.
No
like,
time for sex.
Yeah, that's the problem with people's lives.
That kind of, yeah, I was just kind of going along those lines that I hope. There are elderly people out there who can still manage to have some sort mm-hmm. of intimacy like that, can still have that kind of intimacy because, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And obviously, if you're mm-hmm. 93, yeah, you're going to be struggling to keep the stamina up and things like that. But, I mean, there's lots of healthy 93-year-olds out there who exercise and they can move very well and it might not be the same, but...
absolutely, if you play golf, if you play tennis or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, folks, if you're listening live from wherever you are, you can be part of the show. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about at 515-605-9888. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda is in the UK. I am in the U.S., outside of Hollywood, California. I mean, what are you, about two hours outside of London?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Wait, in Cheshire, Hampshire, Hertfordshire?
In the Shire. In the Shire. I'm like something out of Lord of the Rings. That'd be so cool.
So what's this empty nonsense about?
Well, it's, you know, we're doing our best. Thank you. But Amanda is in the UK. I am in the USA. I think we are unique. This is a unique show in that we, I think, are the only actually live show, maybe the only show, live or otherwise, that actually connects two countries, and at least the UK and the USA together for some conversation, discussion. We're just people talking about what's going on in the world, what's in our minds, what's in our lives, and we want to know what's going on in your life, in your world, and what are your observations, and what are your perceptions and insights as to what's, you know, how the world is treating you and you treating the world. 515-605-9888. You can also, again, email the show, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. We'll be right back, folks, after this message.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I know all about your to-do list, but have you also considered making a to-don't list? Like, don't forget hang time with your ohana. Don't forget to step outside every now and then. And don't forget the big wave golden ale. So maybe you make a to-don't list today, yeah?
Put it on your to-do list.
Good one, brother. One life, right? Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
Yeah, if I only had enough time. If I only had a... I won't say that because you'll say you're right. If I only had a brand, if only had a Kona, you know. If I only had a Kona.
Kona of ice cream.
Anyway,
I know, right?
I was going to say, or
right.
You know, the U.S. We even talked about it. The AMC squeeze. In weeks.
Oh yes, it's squeezing. No, it's been crazy, hasn't it? With the numbers dropping dramatically as they are, but it's been predicted. The certain individuals had millions of dollars to manipulate the AMC stocks supposedly, and have managed to do so. Since Thursday or Friday, and we saw those numbers dropping dramatically.
Do you AMC's at right now?
$16, isn't it? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a good time to jump on and buy more before it shoots up.
It is. It is. Now GameStop, is it 102?
Ooh.
I wonder if it would be worth. I should ask them about that because if AMC goes down to like single digits,
yeah,
I've already lost a couple thousand dollars on AMC. A couple thousand dollars.
Time.
That could have bought me a new guitar. I could have done a lot with that money. And the other investments I have are I'm good on. And as I'm making money, you know, JetBlue's down just a little bit, but I'm down a little bit on ABBA. But the other one, stock. I don't have a whole lot of stocks, but the ones I bought are, you know, even if they're up and down, the down's not so too far down, and the ups are pretty good. But if you took my $2,000 loss on AMC so far, I wouldn't be doing bad at all. I'd be maybe breaking even, maybe a little more, a little less, but it wouldn't bother. You know, it would be okay. I mean, I can obviously do without the $2,000. My bank doesn't. I don't know the difference. I can afford to lose it if I lost it all. My life doesn't change. I mean, I'd rather have it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
it's not really frightening me at the moment, in all fairness. And I don't know. I've always had that kind of faith in it. That I mean, everything is playing out as
we were told. Everything.
Yeah.
This whole thing, what we're seeing now, it was. And we've had some people who are retail investor. I don't even call them experts, but knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
Experts, you know, we'll see what the future holds regarding giving them a title of expert or not. But we've had some folks on the show that were very knowledgeable into the logistics of how a squeeze work, why this thing's going to work, what goes into a stock squeeze, what is a stock squeeze. And AMC, you know, before COVID, a lot of investors thought if anything's going to go out of business, it's going to be a movie theater chain. And they placed investments. They borrowed short. They placed short bets, like going to a casino and betting on black, thinking you're going to win on black, and then it lands on red. You still got to pay the casino what you wagered on black, even though you have to put your cash down immediately. And when you buy a stock short, you can put a deposit down on your buying, and but if you lose, you got to pay the balance plus the fee to, that enabled you to put the deposit down. So you stand to lose a lot.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what happened is you've got these institutional companies that are manipulating AMC to a point right now, which we were told they would, eventually they're going to have to pay the piper, and the people who own the stocks, of which they borrowed to place those short bets, it's going to have to be paid back. And the people who own the stock are in control. And, you know, and I asked a friend of mine who I met through the music biz, who what he does for a living is he's Asian, and he manages a $50 million portfolio for Asian clients. Institutional investors in China. He's Chinese in China. And his job here in California is he manages $50 million in investments. Very nice.
Whoa.
As a matter of fact, he said he'd come on the show. I forgot. That was before COVID. I have to talk. Yeah. And not only that, he's looking at buying a sailboat. I'm helping him do that too. But, you know, he's a great guy and a great piano player, by the way, and singer. He's really, really good. But anyway, but his main, you know, what he does for, and he drives a Tesla Model X, which is a great car. He does well, right? Manages a $50 million portfolio, very, very personable. And I talked to him about this AMC thing. And he seemed to think it's not going to happen. It's just not. It's all, you know, conjured up conspiracy. Oh, you know, buy stock, you're going to become a very wealthy person. You buy the stock, and he didn't see it happening. But the more I got to talk to him, and you know, discussing the squeeze, it also seemed to me that he didn't quite get what our experts, or what even to call them, what our guests on the show have said. In terms of the logistics, how it works, why it'll work. I mean, short purchases of stock, if you go wrong, you do have to pay that back. It doesn't just disappear.
Yeah. No.
And I think that's just the way it is. But I'm looking at this number before my eyes from 1602, 1601, 16, you know. But I also look at the market, you know, going down no matter what. You know, it dropped significantly. There's a few that are doing pretty okay. But all in all, things are dropped considerably.
As Will was saying, because Andy and I have contact with Will, who came on the show.
That's what we're talking about.
Lee Van Heusen. Yeah. Two epic guys. And, you know, Will has been very good with studying all of this. And, you know, he said it's pretty much like a game of chess at the moment, getting the right pieces into place for this squeeze to happen. And I think one of the things he mentioned recently was, I think something that happened today was that the SEC voted 3-1 in favor of implementing new transparency in reporting policies. Amendments to existing policy, which, you know, goes against the shorts and the hedge funds. So I think this is big, because we all know the FBI stepped in to investigate all of this as well. And we know it's been manipulated again just recently, this past weekend. And so, you know, there's a reason they're manipulating it. There's a reason that they're trying to stop this from happening. I don't think it will go to extremely high levels of a payout, but I think it definitely will go up. Even if it goes up to, like, I don't know, $50, $100.
If it does that, something. You know what? If I get my money back, I'm out. You know, I'm out. I'll sit and wait. If it goes up to where I think I've bought at different phases, but I think my average investment in AMC was, I think, $47 a share, and it's $16 now.
Yeah.
And I got out of a lot of it, and when I saw it going up, it hit 50 somewhat. I bought more because I thought, this is it, and I wish I hadn't. I mean, I sold almost everything, thinking, let me just see what it does. I can always jump in and buy. And I bought, you know, I've got a couple hundred. You know something? No, I don't. I think I have 100 shares.
Right.
$47 a pop. So actually, I'm down. I'm down significantly. Whoa. But I'm going to let it sit. Every time I think about that, I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. Very thought.
Jeez, you know. But I'm going to let it sit. I don't need to get out today, tomorrow, next year, or next month, or next year. You know, let's say in 3 years something happens to AMC and it goes up to 50, 60, 80, you know, a normal business, you know, forget the squeeze. I mean, the thing about the stock market, just like real estate market, in the long run, you hang in there and the market goes up and up. I remember when the NASDAQ average was 3,000. Now was it 32,000, you know, way back when. So you just hang in there, you know, maybe don't even look at it for another year and a half and come back and see where my stocks are. I mean, I don't miss the money. I mean, would I rather have it? Of course. But, you know, I can see why it's a risky. You know, when I first got into it, I was having a lot of fun. I you know, watch what's going on. I hear the commentators, the YouTube people who are on there live talking about the market, this stock, that stock. And I watch what they're doing, see what they're doing. I'd buy a stock based on what the initials said that stock was doing, and then go figure out what did I just buy? What does this company do? And then do pretty well, you know, because I'm listening to what people are doing and what the market's doing and watching the numbers and watching the various companies, the pharmaceuticals and so forth, the high techs. And I did okay. And I figured, oh, I'm going to put money in AMC. That's a separate – I looked at AMC as a separate investment than you would in a normal buying Microsoft and Apple, for the, you know, Ford Motor maybe for the long term, Intel, you know.
Yeah.
If I had taken that $4,000 and put it into Microsoft, Intel – Tesla, I would have done a whole lot better than I'm doing now with AMC, that's for damn sure.
Very true.
Visit. I'll visit. This is I've changed my thinking. You know, before the way I was when I came into this, I thought this was a matter of weeks or months before we saw this incredible squeeze.
Yeah.
But it's not happening. So I've turned that thinking into let me come back in a year and see what it's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got some stocks. And also, here's the deal. I can carry over, you know, I can write off part of that loss. I can carry over the loss to another year. I don't have to take the loss today. I can wait till there's a gain then on taxes, then write that loss off against my gains at that time. So it's actually okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing as well with this whole process, isn't it? Because we went into it knowing that, you know, we were warned, only put in what you're willing to lose. And that's what we did.
But
it gets to the point where, you know, you build up now these expectations and you get nervous because you're waiting for the whole thing to play out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching a sports game. And you're thinking, you know, this play's really good. Then it suddenly goes wrong. And then you think, are they going to win? And it's the same thing with the stock market. It's such a gamble. You never know what's truly going to happen. They can only predict on algorithms and patterns and, you know, a lot of research into who's doing what and things like that. And so, you know, I think the boy you said at one point, it creates such an emotional reaction in you that you actually fear losing the very thing you didn't fear losing in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
It flips on you.
It does.
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah. You just gotta do
it's the, like the hokey pokey, put your right foot in, you take your right.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, such a fun dance. Usually at weddings or parties.
Yes.
Who does that at home? That'd be
I'm not blaming anybody for that.
No, you don't need to.
Oh, no.
But we'll see what happens with this. You know, you put into the market, into any investment or any casino, what you're comfortable with losing, not with what you're going to make. And
some of my judgments were wrong.
Yeah.
And some were wrong.
Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
It's just been an interesting ride, if nothing else. I think it's, you know, there's a little bit of knowledge coming from all of this, and I'm sure putting the time and effort in, we would learn so much more. But it's like supposedly a one-off, once-in-a-lifetime experience to be part of this.
Yeah.
And I think seeing how the stock market generally is right now for everyone, it's it's interesting times that we live in. Definitely a lot of things are changing or will be changing.
And every day is like
it's
a
beautiful morning.
That's how you have, you know, that's how you have to kind of go in these situations, you know.
Yeah. Very true. But I hope we have the star-studded little show that we've been, you know, sitting and buying tickets for front row seats.
You do live very well.
Yeah, I
think
so.
Thank you.
You
made $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you imagine?
Well, I think
It's $2.3 billion.
That's more appealing.
It's probably. I think so. Yes.
I sound like a real greedy person right now. So I think anybody in comparison would be like, yeah, billions. Yeah, I'll take that.
Well, yeah, I think, you know.
And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me, but she's first rate.
Sure are.
You know, this conversation of people that say, if I won the lottery, it wouldn't change me. But yet, if you think about it, you have to change to a certain degree. Because you have people come at you, they come out of the woodwork, suddenly want to be around you again, want to know you again. Because you've got money, you might be able to help them out with something. They might benefit from you in some way. So therefore, on some level, you do find yourself having to change with certain people, or in general.
I would no doubt be changing.
I propose, and I'm going to digress slightly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's just whether it makes you an asshole or not. That's a different story.
Uh-oh. Let me be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll...
Everyone says it.
Do you know... we'll see what happens. We should get Lee, I think, and Will Lomek. At least Will, whoever wants to come back on the show and give us an update what their insights are and perceptions are regarding what's going on with AMC and some other stuff as well. But I think it would be wonderful, to have them back on at this point to see what's going on. Because there's been, you know, I know what happened. You know, if this thing turns around, let's say, and there's a squeeze and suddenly the AMC, you know, thing happens, as many people predict it will. You know, I've done research myself, or I wouldn't have not invested. You know, I'm the jury's not out yet in my head completely, but I've seen enough that would allow me to believe that this is definitely a possibility. And in my life, I'd be,
I got something to do. I got to go do boom, boom, boom.
I love it. That's a good one.
Oh, my God. I'm like...
You cannot do it.
Mm-mm.
Aw. You like to be told that.
Yeah, I do. I don't really...
Oh,
like
you
to.
Do? Yeah. Mm. Well,
I'm going to make a new investment. I am going to make...
Oh, you are?
Right now.
$1.6 trillion worth. $1.4 trillion worth.
Ooh.
Out of $1.4 trillion, excuse me, $1.4 trillion.
What do you think? some other stuff here we've talked about on the show, talking about guests that we've had on with Will and Lee Van Dusen and the stock we've had. The number one country artist in the United States right now is a guy named Kevin Michaels, who's a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine. And his song, 3 weeks now, I think, right around, is still number one nationally.
3 weeks.
Still number one nationally. Number one in indie charts. This rarely, rarely happens.
City life is hard for a guitar-picking man. Yeah, I'll be on my way, I'm going down home to Georgia to drink some moonshine whiskey and to join a country band.
YouTube. I know it's on YouTube. Look up Kevin Michaels, Down Home Georgia. Please do this. Kevin Michaels, Down Home Georgia. Let's keep this alive.
Wow.
It's a great tune, and Kevin's a wonderful guy with a hell of a history, a good friend of Ringo Starr's and Paul McCartney. He's a rocker from the UK from way back. He's got one hell of a history. He's famous amongst the famous. He's done a lot in the rock and roll business. Now he's produced this country tune, which is just doing beautifully right now. And again, number one. And he's great. Isn't he great to have on the show? What a humble, down to earth guy. Here he is, this number one country artist, And
he's just so easy to talk to and hang out with, really.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's really a great guy. And he's in Hawaii right now spending time with his family. When he comes back, Kevin and I are going to be spending time mixing his next song. It was all recorded in Nashville at the same time going down to Georgia, was called For You. And I can't wait to share that. And Kevin said that when we're finished mixing and mastering, that he's allowing the Andy and Amanda Show to be the debut platform for that song before it goes to the country charts. Yeah. So we're going to be playing that song on our show. The first station, the first company, the first, I don't even know what we are, the first show, the first, whatever, first broadcast.
First media platform, I guess.
Yeah, wow. Media platform. There you go.
Wow.
And we are so excited about it. We are
these really fucking people kidding me?
No, because and I think what's going to happen is the song For You is going to have more crossover potential than Down Home Georgia, which is, if you like country, bluegrass, get up and move music. I hate to categorize and stereotype music. It's a great tune. I don't care where it lives. It's a great tune. Well deserved to be number one. Down Home Georgia, Kevin Michaels. Go to YouTube, folks. Go to Spotify. Call your country radio stations wherever you live. Down Home Georgia, Kevin Michaels, number one. Why is it number one? You listen to it. You tell us. Give us an email, andydemandershow@gmail.com. Let us know if you heard it, or feel free to call the show. We're almost out of time now, but we'll be back on Friday at 8 p.m. in UK, 3 p.m. on East Coast, noontime here, 515-605-9888. And our email address is
andydemandershow@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I drew a blank there.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, I was like Join the show, folks. And you know what, Amanda? We can talk about this now. Amanda's doing some traveling. She's going to be. I wish she was coming to visit me, but she's getting.
Aww.
She's going to be closer to me, south of the border here. Yeah, she's going to be joining a drug cartel in Mexico, and and we look forward to doing live reports. No, she's going to be visiting Mexico, visiting some a friend there, and visiting. I need to go to Mexico. That's all I know.
Yeah, I'm visiting, spending a little bit of time there, and then coming back to the UK. But I shall be reporting as usual for the UK, keeping on top of things. And
Mexico,
it's gonna be
right? So this show's going to take on another dimension. And I think what we're going to try to do, just briefly, because I know we got to sign off, is. We might be, and we'll talk about it right now, but after you move to Mexico, I'll probably take next Monday off because you'll be in that move. Maybe we'll play a repeat during this time slot. But we might be moving the show to an evening live time slot on Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep you informed regarding
that.
So I think our numbers will – our live audience will pick up in the evening as well. More people listen at night than they do in the middle of the day here. I don't know about the UK. Well, of course, same thing. It's 8 o'clock at night there. All right. We got to go. We have 30 seconds left. This has been a blast. What a great conversation always. This is the Andy DeMandrea Show. Amanda, get us the hell out of here, folks, and we'll see you back on the show Friday.
Okay. On behalf of Andy and myself, that's what I'm going to say, thanks for joining us, and join us again for Friday's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you then. You take care. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye-bye, folks. Enjoy. Take care. Be safe.